Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains isolation in liminal spaces. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. The fluorescent lights hum inconsistently overhead. Like the lights in your school. As you wander down a long highway. As you wander down a long hallway, the yellow wallpaper peels in places to reveal molded drywall. Something whispers a few unsettling words behind you, but as you look, you're all alone. Turning back around, there's a man in a white lab coat. He asks you if you know what level you're on. If you are infected, do you have any sensitivity to the color purple? Before he can ask another strange question, a long black tendril of smoke bursts through the floor, wrapping around the now screaming scientist. You watch in horror as he's pulled down into nothingness. Killian, where are you? Don't look at the document. You're cheating.
Nothingness?
Kind of. You are in the back rooms.
The back rooms from Roblox?
I don't know. We'll find out.
That's from Roblox.
Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more.
Roblox.
Killian, you've played Roblox like 3 times in your entire life.
I know that.
How do you know that it's on Roblox? Chitter-chatter in the hallways in the second grade.
Yes.
Okay, so Killian, as always, the first thing we need to do is we have to thank our dear friend, Lucia, for suggesting the dreaded back rooms. I really hope we're saying her name right, their name right. Lucia. Yes, right? Potentially. I'm so sorry if it's wrong.
If we are not, we are so sorry, we shall send a note.
If we are wrong, Lucia, you can send us a message and I will correct it in a future episode because I too have a difficult name and I will be sad if someone gets it wrong. Killian feels me on the last name.
Karina.
Well, yes, my name is Karina, but our last name's really not
being a surfer.
It's not the most fun to try and get people to say it, so I understand.
Yeah.
So let us know if we say it right or wrong. Anyway, regardless, thank you for suggesting the back rooms because I know absolutely zero about it. You clearly know something.
Yes.
But it doesn't sound like you know a lot.
Yeah, I don't know a lot.
That's cool. We're going to find out now.
Roblox.
So, is that all you know about the back rooms? Is that it's from Roblox?
Yes.
That's all you know?
Yes.
Perfect. So, to start, the back rooms are, by definition, a liminal space. Do you know what liminal space is?
No.
Cool. A liminal space is an uncertain transition between where you've been and where you're going physically, emotionally, or metaphorically. It's kind of like a holding space, a purgatory, a place where you feel like you're in, but still somehow not in. So, Five Nights at Freddy's security breach is kind of like a back room. It's a big empty space that would
huge empty space
that would usually have a lot of people in it, but because it's empty, it's kind of creepy. The cat is having a sneezing fit. Do you hear her? She's done. Liminal space feels both real and unreal, and by that, it stresses our brains out and can trigger our fight or flight response. Have you ever heard the term fight or flight? So, other than being a tongue twister, because I almost always say one of the words twice, Fight or flight is a psychological term for how your body initially reacts to danger. You either fight or fly. Fly in this instance means run away, not actually fly.
I'm like, wait, what?
No. It's like a thing you can't control. So like when you go into a haunted house and the way you react when you get scared the first time, that's completely beyond your control. That is your fight or flight instinct. It's your body's way of protecting you. You either fight what you see or you run away from it. So when you went to the haunted house, what was your response? Do you remember?
Yes.
Did you try to, like, you tried to, like, your body almost tried to run away?
Yes.
Exactly. So your instinct was the flight one. Some people's instinct in haunted houses is to fight, and that means to, like, punch a scarer, which is not fun. Okay, so all this is to say that liminal spaces and the back rooms are creepy, and to pair that with the strange and hungry entities that lurk within the faded walls of the back rooms, we have a perfect setting for a psychological horror. Mm-hmm. But before we turn that corner to face the thing that has been whispering your name for the last hour, let's learn about where the back rooms come from. So, Killian, like our good buddies Slenderman and Siren Head, the back rooms are born of the internet folklore.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's a friend.
So way back in ye olde 2019, when you were 3 years old, okay, an anonymous user started a thread on a paranormal-themed forum asking users to, quote, post disquieting images that just feel off. One of the posts was an original photo of the back rooms. It was a picture of a large carpeted open room with yellow wallpaper and fluorescent lighting. It is not known where the photo was taken and was probably a computer-generated image. Another anonymous user replied to this post with the first description of the back rooms. It said, quote, if you are not careful and you no-clip out of... No-clip? Is that what it really is? Okay. If you are not careful and you no-clip out of reality in the wrong areas, you'll end up in the back rooms, where it's nothing but the stink of old moist carpet, the madness of mono yellow, the endless background noise of fluorescent lights at maximum hum buzz, and approximately 600 million square miles of randomly segmented empty rooms to be trapped in. God save you if you hear something wandering around nearby, because it sure as hell has heard you. And like the internet does, it took the back rooms and completely ran with it. Since 2019, we have gotten video games, creepypastas, Minecraft renditions.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Tabletop role-playing games, and so much more. So in short, the back rooms are a term used to describe a creepy liminal space that has thousands of levels, each with a different setting, inhabitants, characteristics, and ways to stumble into and out of it. What kind of things do you think live in the back rooms?
Probably if the person who made Slenderman would, if, yeah, he would probably be in the back rooms just hiding behind like this, like part of the hallway. He'll be like
creeping people out there.
Yeah.
So you may think Slenderman might be in the back rooms. It's not a bad assumption.
And then Siren Head just rips the roof and just
maybe
grabs you to eat you.
Okay. So both great guesses. We've got some answers though. So first off, some people get trapped in the back rooms by accident. They make little groups and establish outposts and hideouts on the many layers and levels of the back rooms. There are even people who go looking for the back rooms and intend to find their way back to the real world. These are your explorers. And then, of course, many secret organizations study the back rooms. Probably most notably are the MEG. The MEG, which is Major Explorer Group, is a large and influential group existing within the back rooms. According to the back rooms lore, the group was founded by something called the First in 1885 and finalized in terms of leadership in the year 1900. The MEG acts as a form of government over the many levels of the back rooms and is very effective in its role. The prime directive of the Major Explorer Group is to help Wanderers and enact a government in the back rooms to cease anarchy and chaos among the creatures and people who have found themselves stuck there. So do you think there are things besides people in the back rooms?
There's probably, like, I would say, I'm gonna make, like, a creepypasta room.
Love it.
So, like, it's gonna be, like, there's, like, a little phone. Like, there's only one thing in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you, there's you and a phone and a...
Okay, I get you.
And a TV and a chair.
That's it? Okay.
And the... You're sitting down, the news is on.
Okay.
And suddenly it's starting to do a TV static.
Okay, very familiar with that.
Then you see this little girl coming out of the TV.
The Ring.
She's saying, "Hello."
Oh.
Wanna play?
Ooh. That's creepy.
Then she starts singing a nursery rhyme very creepily and slowly, walking towards you until...
If you guys can't see him, but he did a slice across his throat.
There's only you in the room and the girl with a bloody knife.
That's a pretty good... And you know what? Here's the thing. Because the back rooms is all internet folklore and made up by people, by you creating that story, if I understand this back rooms business correctly, then by you creating that story, you have thus created your own back room. Correct?
Yes.
Am I correct in saying that?
Correct.
Love it. Killian just did it. On the spot, Killian created his own back room.
Yep. Level 3,334.
There you go. So do you think, just like your little girl, did you think that there are, like, monsters or other things in the back rooms, like creepy stuff?
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if there... Yeah, like, the... Yeah, like, this invisible person... This invisible mimic...
Oh, okay.
...will be in the room.
We're getting D&D in it. So...
And then it just turns into a Demogorgon.
Ooh.
And it starts walking
also
towards
D&D.
You. No, that's not the D&D.
Demogorgon is in D&D.
No.
Yes.
Not that one.
Oh, you're talking about the Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
It starts walking towards you.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like walking towards you with his teeth jagged.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he pulls out a knife and sharpens his teeth.
Oof.
He's like... And then his mouth goes like a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And
nice. All right. So can I tell you what some of the things that are in back rooms are?
Wait, could you make a back room?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I already know exists back
there. Okay.
Yeah. There are no shortage of strange cryptid-like monsters. And in the land of the back rooms, these monsters are called entities.
Entities?
So we're going to talk about hounds first. What do you think those are? Do you think they're cute little
wolves.
Dogs like Lupin?
Wolves.
Oh, you think they're wolves. Okay. Well, you have the hounds, which are humanoid entities with dog attributes.
What are attributes?
Like, means like they're human, but they have like some dog like traits.
Werewolf.
Kind of. They have unkempt black hair on their heads and large mouths filled with sharp teeth.
Dang.
They have bony limbs, like long bony limbs,
whoa,
sharp claws, and have fully white eyes and walk on all fours like a dog, hence their name. Oh my God, I know what they look like.
What?
Do you remember when we watched the Harry Potter with the werewolf in it?
Yeah.
Do you remember? In Harry Potter, the movie... The werewolves have, like, really long limbs.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that part? Okay, we'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, we're gonna do this right now after...
No, not right now.
No, after the show.
No. Okay, so there's also skin stealers. Ugh.
I know what those are.
You do? How do you know? Are you just guessing?
I know.
How do you know?
They're skin. They're people who steal skin and they wear it like clothes to shapeshift.
Now, did you know that or did you guess that based on the name?
It's a
pretty good guess because skin stealers are large humanoid entities that are commonly known to wear the skin of their victims as a disguise, which makes them rather difficult to identify. They are commonly observed to have the ability to mimic human speech, but they don't do a good job of it.
Skinwalker.
Yes, it is highly suggested to run away from any wanderer who seems to be repeating the same words or speaking in a monotone voice.
What is a monotone voice?
What I just did.
In a monotone voice.
This is a monotone voice, Killian. You have no emotion, no inflection. You just say words.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
That is very sad.
And then we also have the oh-so-lovely facelings. What do you think a faceling is?
A faceling is a, something that is very, it looks very cute.
Oh, okay.
What's this little guy? It just steals your face.
Gotcha. Let's see what it says.
Like the cupcake.
From Five Nights at Freddy's. These creatures are reminiscent of human beings. However, they have a strange look about them. Most explorers insist that they will look human enough from afar. If certain parts of their body are concealed or if they are oriented a certain way. Closing the distance, however, will reveal an uncanny and sometimes horrifying.
What does uncanny mean?
Hold on a second. Let me finish what I was saying, and then I'll see if you could figure it out.
Okay.
Uncanny and sometimes horrifying presentation of these beings, with their most notable feature being their lack of facial features. So the word uncanny kind of means like, how do I explain this to you? It's like, I don't know how to explain the word.
Remember when we went to Aubrey Mills and we saw the wax figure people that looked human, but they weren't human? They were made of wax? It's uncanny. It's kind of crazy how real they look.
The things at the haunted house.
You can also look at some things and be like, it's uncanny, like how much people look alike. It's like wild. It's kind of, I don't know. Here, let me look up the definition because I know how to use uncanny, but it's weird to think about how to explain the word.
What is uncanny valley?
Uncanny valley. Hold on. So uncanny means strange or mysterious, especially in an unsettling way. So, okay, I was explaining it correctly.
Weird valley?
Uncanny valley is different though. It's kind of the same thing here. The exact definition for uncanny valley is used in reference to a phenomenon where a computer-generated figure or a humanoid robot bearing a near-identical resemblance to a human being arouses a sense of unease and or revulsion in the person viewing it. So when you looked at those wax figures, like, did they make you feel kind of like, ooh, they look like the people, but, like, it's weird because, like, they look like the people, but they're, like, unsettling.
I don't remember seeing any wax figures.
Okay, well, here, look. So there's this picture of this woman, right? She looks human, but, like, when you look at her, you feel kind of creeped out, right? You can't explain it.
Yeah.
But you feel kind of creeped out. That's Uncanny Valley.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now that we've explained Uncanny and Uncanny Valley, let's continue to what a faceling. Well, we kind of figured out what the faceling was. It's a thing that looks human, but isn't.
I need to see a picture of a faceling.
Let's see. I don't know that people are going to have... Well, I'm clearly wrong. They literally are just missing facial features.
Oh.
But when you're far away, if those people were far away, you probably wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
But when you get closer, it's like, oh my gosh, they're missing their face. Okay, so... That's just, and all that, Killian, that we've already talked about is just what you find on the first level. And there's many, many other levels. How do we enter a back room?
I've got a joke about this.
Okay, go ahead.
The Twilight Zone.
Hilarious. There are many ways in. Sometimes you open a door and step into a room that shouldn't be there. You stumble through a portal, or in the original thought process, you enter the back rooms via no clipping out of reality. Clipping is a video game design term used to create walls and buildings that don't allow players to pass through them. No clip is a cheap cheat code that exists in some video games that lets players walk through walls. So you like, you know, when you're playing video games and you try to turn a certain way, it's like, hello, why can't I go this way? And it's just very clear that the game doesn't want you to go that way for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's what clipping is. And if you had a cheat where it allowed you to go through that wall, it would be no clipping. So they're saying that you can enter a back room by going through like a mysterious wall you weren't supposed to go through, kind of. So entering the back room via no clipping would mean that you leaned up against a wall in the real world, fell through, and found yourself in another reality. So level zero is a level from the internet post we talked about earlier, and is usually the first place that visitors go to in the back, like the first thing they encounter when they go into the back room. Level one is a massive warehouse with concrete floors and walls, exposed rebar, dim fluorescent lights placed on the walls, and low-hanging fog that with no discernible source. The fog often turns into condensation, forming puddles on the floor. Unlike level zero, this level possesses consistent supply of water and electricity, which allows indefinite habitation by wanderers, providing that the appropriate precautions were taken. It is also far more expansive, possessing staircases, elevators, isolated rooms, and hallways. The fluorescent lights at any time can flicker or turn off for minutes or even hours. When this occurs, hostile entities may appear, and supplies may even vanish inexplicably. These entities rarely attack in groups and tend to avoid light and large gatherings of people. If the lights turn off, it is strongly advised to try and navigate more carefully by avoiding any strange noises and find secure rooms to seek shelter in. It is also recommended to bring a light source if this occurs. Also, crude paintings and drawings with no apparent origin or meaning appear on the walls and on the floors. They are also known to change.
What does crude mean?
Like not good. Like usually like. Like.
Yeah, just not.
Yeah, not very quality. Good. Not high quality. That's what I was looking for.
I thought it meant like rude.
No. I do understand how you say that. There's also, crude can be used in different ways, but this is how we mean it in this instance. They are also known to change in appearance and disappear when not directly in line of sight. Like in Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach, when you go in turn and when you don't look at the spring trap machines, they try and move. Like that. So that's kind of the idea of level one. Pretty spooky, especially since the deeper into the backrooms you get, the more challenging the entities are. The more evil the wanderers and explorers get, and of course, the more confusing the world becomes. I'm not going to dig into the other levels because there are literally thousands of them. With a grown-up's permission, you can do some research on the Backrooms fandom wiki page. I wonder, this is just me wondering, Daddy and I used to read, there's a internet forum called Reddit. And Daddy and I stumbled upon, when we first started dating, a whole Reddit thread of park rangers talking about mysterious things in parks. And one of them, and I don't think it was real. I think it was a creepypasta, but we thought it was real at the time. But one park ranger talked about staircases that would just appear in the middle of the woods and go nowhere. And I wonder if that is part of like the Backrooms lore now, because that was a long time ago, way before Backrooms existed. Yeah. So I'm wondering now if that was like maybe a jumping off point or like the beginnings of like the idea of Backrooms, because they like the park ranger would say like, don't ever go up those stairs. Like if you go up the stairs, you'll never be seen again.
Yeah.
I wonder, but that just shows you creepypastas are very believable, because we've for a long time thought those were real. Okay, so speaking of creepypasta, would you like a creepypasta style story?
Yes.
This story is called Falling.
It's like the song Falling.
Yes, it is. The mall at Christmas time was always slammed with people.
Me.
You couldn't find a free square of tile on the floor in some of the stores. So when my mom asked if I wanted to go shopping with her, I begged and pleaded not to go. Then she dropped the, that really wasn't a question line, on me. As predicted, the mall was packed. It took us 10 minutes to find a parking spot. We walked into the food court and my mom bought us pretzels to soften the blow of fighting the crowds as we shopped for gifts for our out-of-town cousins. I didn't know it then, but the reason I didn't like crowded places was because I was dealing with anxiety. All the sounds, smells, and people freaked me out. But I focused on my pretzel and put on my headphones as I followed my mom into the clothing store. Watching my mom wander the clothing racks, I saw a circular one filled with clearance dresses and decided to do something that I hadn't done since I was a little kid. I slid between the dresses and hid myself in the middle of the clothing rack. As soon as my butt hit the floor, I fell. I screamed as I grabbed onto the silky blue dresses. Using it like a rope, I clung on for dear life. The floor beneath me was an open black pit. My hands were starting to sweat as I shouted for help, but the fabric was too slick, and I slid into darkness. I landed hard on my back in the empty clothing store. It was the same clothing store I had just been in. Just this time, it was void of clothes and people. A few naked mannequins and clothing racks filled the empty hangers dotting the space. Once I collected myself and stood up, I realized I was in a perfect replica of the mall, just completely empty. I called out for my mom, for anybody really. A deep, still silence answered. A smile crept across my face. I was alone. No loud people, no rude shoppers, no one to bother me. I felt like I found a dreamland. As I raced through the empty mall, a service entrance with a bold green exit sign caught my attention. I had always wanted to check it out, and this was the perfect time. I expected to open the door and find a long gray brick service tunnel. What I found instead sent a shiver down my spine. The door opened up to another section of the small mall, like some kind of wormhole. Click, 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 click. The sound came from the open portal in front of me. A scream got caught in my throat as a 20-foot-tall centipede wriggled up and out of a potted plant. It locked eyes with me and slithered onto the tile floor, charging for me. I felt hands on my shoulder as someone kicked the door shut just in time. The entity's head slammed hard on the metal door. The hands spun me around, and I didn't know if I felt safer with the centipede or the person wearing a full hazmat suit complete with an astronaut-like helmet. They pulled out some kind of strange radar gun and scanned me. They quickly grabbed my hand and started moving me towards the old shoe store. I didn't know what was going on, but they didn't seem threatening, and the entity kept slamming its head on the door. The hazmat person used the scanner as a guide, like you would use Google Maps to track where you were walking. They turned a corner around an empty shelf and pointed the scanner at the little bench with the floor-level mirrors to check the look of your shoes. The hazmat suit pointed at the mirror, insisting that I go into it. Just as I began to thank the person saving me, the metal door gave way and the centipede roared with hunger, having found its way to us. We both looked in its direction. I dove to the ground just in time because the centipede had already made it into the shoe store. I watched the hazmat suit get pushed to the floor and their helmet get knocked off. The person had a head, but where its eyes, nose, and mouth should have been was just smudged flesh. They had smudged red hair, and where an ear should have been was a small colorful dot of smudged skin. The centipede began to feast on the person, and I noticed that each of the centipede's hands and feet were that of real people. As the centipede devoured the person, I saw new limbs growing as the centipede got bigger. I slid into the mirror. I emerged back in the real world in a shoe store on the other side of the mall. The sounds of people thundered around me like a security blanket. Like something that makes you feel safe. As I walked out of the shoe store, a security guard raced up to me and told me that they had been looking for me for 6 weeks. It was February. As I sat in the security office, I noticed the missing persons posters. One caught my eye. A manager of the candle store had gone missing a few years ago. She had red hair and a colorful little tattoo of a butterfly behind her left ear. The end.
That's the astronaut person. Mm-hmm.
Good job. Did you like it?
Yeah.
So, Killian, what do you think of back rooms?
I like them.
Also, Mommy used to hide in the circle of clothing all the time when I was a kid, and it would make Gigi so angry.
Oh, yeah. I hit up a little bit of, like, mall nostalgia. Yeah. Like, hiding in those things.
Because they couldn't see you. So
why
it was
would
like,
it make Gigi angry?
Because they couldn't, like, your parents couldn't see you.
We don't take you to a lot of clothing stores. They don't really have those.
They don't really. They used to have clothing racks that were a big circle. And so if you scoot in the middle of it, no one could see you. So your parents would think you disappeared.
I've done that.
You've done that?
Not to us.
Next time we go by JCPenney's or something, we'll see if we can see one.
JCPenney's?
A JC.
When have we ever been to a JC?
Well, they don't have a Sears no more. Those catalogs are gone.
Anyway, Killian, would you adventure into the back rooms?
Yes, with you at least.
With me?
Yes.
I could defend you, you think?
You were like, Wah! You'd be like, Wah! We're going to die in the back room.
Because I scream all the time?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you're not like a freaky cat.
I'm not a freaky cat. Okay, good. Thank you again to our friend Lucia, for suggesting the back rooms. I really did like the back rooms. I knew absolutely nothing about them.
They're really cool.
I actually said the bathrooms.
Bathrooms are not cool, but they are a little scary sometimes.
The baño.
The baño. All right,
bathroom in Spanish.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, the cryptids are watching.
That's it. Thank you for listening to the Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemesterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemesterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.